read from 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. We'll read verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4 and 5. We've been on this text for a little while. We might be through if I hadn't been preaching revival the last couple of weeks. We might be through with it by now, but we're back here again tonight, and I just feel like it's timely. I really do. If I've ever watched the enemy fight, especially against ministry all over. I got a text from Brother Drone a few days ago, and he said, Brother Eddie, we're praying for you. And he said, outside of you and the attack against your life and ministry and family, he said there's 5 ministers in Baldwin County alone, pastors, that are under severe attack in their body, that are either currently in the hospital, have been diagnosed with terminal disease like cancer. They are in a battle for their life. He said, I'm convinced more than ever there is a demonic attack against our brethren in Baldwin County. And I said, Brother, you better believe there is. And I said, we're going to bind together and pray not only for ministry, but laity. I believe there's an attack against God's people across the board. And if you haven't felt that, if you kind of haven't had the bullets whizzing by your head, but you just throw both hands up and rejoice and pray for the wounded. Bandage the bleeding. Amen. I heard a preacher preach the other night. Somebody actually sent me a link to it on Facebook. All I did was hear him read his text and read his title. And I might have listened to 5 minutes of it, but I messaged him back and I said, wow. When I get a chance to sit down and really listen to what this man of God has to say, he's heard from heaven. He used the Apostle Paul's text where he was, you know, just a litmus of everything he had been through. And then when he got to the end, he said, beside all this, the cares that come upon me daily, he said, the care of all the churches. And he titled his message and was preaching on leading while bleeding. And I thought, man, I want to hear that. Amen. Sometimes we're called to do that. But pray for those tonight that are in need. Sister Bobby's dad just got out of the hospital, and they sent him home under hospice. And just praying for him that God would intervene and touch him in his need. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, we'll begin reading with verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I want to be careful every time I've read this to make note and mention, he's not saying though we walk after the flesh, he said though we walk in the flesh, in this body of flesh. We do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought under the obedience of Christ. Yeah. We've been preaching on the subject of the weapons of our warfare. You're in a war. You know who you're in the war against, not your neighbor, not your brother, not your sister. Not your husband, not your wife, not your son, not your daughter. No, you're in a battle against principalities and power, spiritual wickedness, and high places. You're in a battle against the devil. But the Lord said, the good news is you've been given weaponry to not only fight but to win. For our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We've been preaching on the weapons of our warfare. And I want to continue right along in that thought tonight. And if you will, help me pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We ask you, Lord, that you'll speak to our heart again as you have so often. I pray, Lord, that you'll anoint the preaching of the word of God, that you would anoint our ears to hear it, our heart to receive it. That God, you would just roll back the heavens tonight and rain upon your people. God, with a good shower of refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. That you'd let the Holy Ghost have his free reign in every heart and in every life. Father, come and do that in our heart that's pleasing unto you. As clay in the potter's hands, mold us and shape us and conform us to your image. I pray as believers you would equip us and empower us tonight, God, for that we might be able to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life, meet every need, touch every heart and life. And God, we thank you in advance for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. If you love the Lord, would you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, just to roll through, there's no way that I'm going to try to even just catch you up to date. All of these are linked on our podcast channels, and there are many of those out there where you could listen. If you like listening apps, they're all kind of listening apps linked to our Facebook page there that you can listen to. But they're on the live stream. If you want to go back, there's probably four more of these on the weapons of our warfare. But the first message that we preached, I think we actually spent a while preaching on the wiles of the devil, who we're up against, and his trickery, his deceit, and the battlefield, the arena that we are called to fight in. But right after that, we got into the weaponry that God has given us. And number one, we talked about when we speak of the weapons of our warfare, the weapon of his name. And there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when Christ gave us the power and the authority of his name, it's the same as if somebody was sick or they've gone away on a trip, and we know the Lord hasn't passed away. He's very much alive, but he left, and he is seated at the right hand of God. But before he left, he gave us a POA, a power of attorney, to use his name. He said, whatsoever you will ask the Father in my name, he'll do it. Thank God. Somebody's giving you power of attorney, you speak on their behalf. You do business on their behalf. You spend or accrue debt on their behalf. And Christ has given us all of that and even more in his name. What a weapon that is. And then second, we talked about weaponized prayer. Man, I enjoyed preaching that message. If you weren't here and didn't get to hear it, I just encourage you, challenge you to go back and listen to that message. And we talked a lot about prayer and how God answers and honors prayer. Third, we made mention of weaponized worship. We talked about what God declares as true worship, surrender and sacrifice. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, and how that true worship confuses the enemy, helps us win the battle. And then next we talked about weaponized preaching, and I enjoyed preaching that as well. I not only love to preach, but I love to hear men preach. I love to hear men preach under the anointing. I like to hear the gospel preached with power. I just do. Jesus came preaching. John the Baptist came preaching. Every prophet of old came preaching. The Bible said Enoch was a preacher. The Bible said that Noah was a preacher. All the apostles were preachers. And God called preachers all throughout the book of Acts, raised them up out of that early church. And I'm glad that the Bible says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching that men might be saved. Amen. I'm still trying to get my brain wrapped around it, but I want to preach a message, if God will help me in the near future, on the miracle of preaching. Wow. The miracle of preaching. You take a man, Peter, who had denied Christ three times, fill him with the Holy Ghost. He comes out of that upper room and he preaches. Oh, yes. And the Bible said 3,000 souls were added to the church in one day. Wow. Preach. What a miracle for that message to pour and emanate through such a weak vessel. Yes. And what a weapon that God has in his arsenal when he could call a frail, weak vessel, a man or a woman, call them to preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, yeah. Rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. To preach the word and the lost be saved. The sick get healed. Those that are bound can be freed or delivered. Amen. Every believer can be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Man, the preaching of the word has done more to rob and strip and plunder Satan's kingdom perhaps than any other weapon combined. Amen. We are exhorted to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes. Amen. Amen. What a weapon preaching is and always will be. And we're just moving along in this, what we've called a series on the weapons of our warfare. It started out to be one message. It really did, but I took so long to preach the first message on his name. I said, man, I might as well give that up, preaching all that in one service. I took this series to a camp meeting. I took it to a revival, and I thought, I'm going to streamline it, and I'm just going to rip right through it and just try to hit every point. And I can't do it. You just can't do it. I want to preach to you tonight on weaponized community and fellowship. To me, that's what church is. Weaponized community and fellowship. Church is when believers come together for the same reason, for the same purpose. Just like they did in the upper room, they were all in one place with one accord. They were all there for the same reason, doing the same thing, seeking the same one, calling on the same name, believing for the same promise until the Holy Ghost came. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not talking about you, community and fellowship. You drive down 98 and sprinkled right up here, and there's a couple of more as you go down on the right. I mean, there's a whole lot of drunkards that all go into the same dive. That's right. For community and fellowship, and that's called bar rooms. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Sure. I ain't interested in going to no bar room. Mm-hmm. Amen. Ain't nothing in there for me. And then, you know, on any given Friday night or maybe, you know, during the fall and winter, a football stadium, there's a whole lot of community and fellowship. People put on the same colors. They paint themselves up or strip themselves down or however they want to do it, and they go and, you know, spread all the hoopla. And that's community and fellowship. But there ain't no power in it. That's right. Ain't no power in it. Nobody gonna get saved through it. That's right. Nobody gonna get healed. Nobody gonna get delivered or set free. Nobody's gonna have any peace or any joy over any of that. It's fleeting, it's passing, it's carnal. I'm talking about weaponized community and fellowship. Devil don't care if you go to a bar. He don't care if you go to a ball game, but it bothers him when you get dressed and go to church. Hallelujah. Amen. And Brother Pate said, amen. Because he pastors too. I said, it bothers the devil when you get dressed and get yourself ready and get in that car and say to your family, we are going to church. Hallelujah to God. The devil knows he's in for a battle. That's exactly right. If you're going to a Bible preaching, spirit-filled, anointed church, the devil knows you're about to rattle his cage. The devil knows he's in for a struggle. He's in for a fight when you load that family up and say, come on, we're going to church. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 19, let me read it to you. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Here it is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Yes. Notice what he said there in the third verse that I read into you here in verse 21 there of Hebrews chapter 10, having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart. Notice he didn't say, let me draw near. He said, let us draw near. Where? To the house of God. Why? Because Jesus, as a high priest, has promised to meet us there. Do you know the book of Hebrews was written to Jews who were under such severe persecution from Jews over their faith that many of them were dropping out of the church? And the book of Hebrews was written to persecuted Jews to encourage them, don't stop going to church because the devil's fighting you. But you need to keep going, and you need to go more often the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. He said in verse 22, again, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. And then he again mentioned all of us. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, because they were being severely persecuted. For he is faithful that promised. And then he said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Somebody said, well, you don't have to go to church to get saved. I agree. You can get saved anywhere where the Spirit of God deals. I've heard of people getting saved in the hospital. I've heard of people getting saved in a bar room. I've heard of people getting saved at a rock and roll concert. I heard a preacher witness and testify that he was a drug addict. He went to a Marilyn Manson concert. It's one of the most wicked, evil, and sadistic rock and roll singers that has ever graced the platform. Here's the deal with Marilyn Manson, is he was raised by Pentecostal parents and grew up in rebellion against God, and he stands against everything that God is. And at the end of every Marilyn Manson concert, he gives an altar call to the devil and asks for people that want to give their life to Satan or for Satan to fill them. He said, well, I was raised in the house of God, and I was living like a rebel. And when I heard him give an altar call to Satan, He said, I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, if you don't get out of here, then you're about to be possessed with a spirit that is going to take you straight to hell. And you know what hell is. He said, I told my buddies, I'm getting out of here. This ain't right. He said, they laughed at me. He said, I ran out of that building as fast as I could, fell down in the parking lot outside the building and wept tears of repentance and told God, I'm sorry. Please save my soul. God went on to fill him with the Holy Ghost and call him to preach.
Hallelujah.
You can get saved anywhere.
Amen.
But thank God, I've always believed that if you get saved anywhere, the greatest desire in your heart and life is going to be to find you a church with other believers. Get in it and let them edify your soul. Nobody wants to be all by themselves. What's true in the natural is also going to be true in the spiritual. Anything is going to look for its own kind to fellowship with. People are drinking. They want to drink with somebody. That's why they go to bar. People are watching a ball game. They're going to cook hot dogs or hamburgers or fried shrimp or something and call their buddies to come on over. We're going to watch the game together. I'm still preaching right. People go hunting or fishing. They want to go with a buddy. I think it's better. Number one, it's safer. You in the water or in the woods or up a tree, it's safer. There's safety in numbers. Something happens to you, you don't need to be by yourself. When Jesus sent disciples out, he didn't send them out alone. He sent them out two by two. Safety in numbers. And besides that, I said, what's the fun in catching the biggest fish you ever caught if your buddy wasn't there to see it? If you ain't got nobody to brag to, if you didn't beat anybody, I mean, what what fun was it? I'm talking to you about, he said, let us consider one another. And when you get saved, it ain't all about you anymore. It's about each other. And we're in this not only for ourselves. And Brother Roy Drum used to always tell me, Brother Ed, if anybody makes it, make sure it's you. I'm in charge of me. I'm in charge of my walk with God. I'm in charge of my spirituality. And if anybody makes it to heaven, I need to make sure it's me. I want to tell you, when I know that I'm right, when I know that I'm ready, my pastor used to tell me, don't you wait till you come to church and hear me preach. And you ain't prayed all day and you fall in the altar under conviction and I need you to help me pray sinners through and I need you to help me pray for the sick. I need you to help me pray for these young people to receive the Holy Ghost. You find somewhere to pray. Pray through. Pray often. Come to church ready because we're called. We're ministers of the gospel and when you get there, it ain't about you anymore. It's about pouring into somebody else. Say when the altar call's given, don't stand there with your hands in your pockets. Lead somebody to the altar. Be the first one. Break the ice. Be an icebreaker. Plow right through every obstacle. Me and Brother Dawes went to Forts Lake the last two nights. Brother Joe Gann's been preaching. Powerful preacher. And both nights, I know, I'm a preacher, I know when he's bringing the plane in for a landing. He's getting ready to give an altar call. And last night he said, everybody, if you're able, just stand with me. Well, as soon as he says that, I'm coming on down. I'm going to be the first one in the altar. Do I need God more than anybody else? Maybe so. Maybe so. I need God more right now than anybody else. Sometimes it feels like in the whole world I need God to help me and to move on my behalf and to touch me. But even if I was on the mountaintop, There's somebody in there that's battling a little anxiety about what somebody else is going to think or what somebody else is going to say if I break out and head down to the... Are they going to think I'm backslid? Well, if so, they're going to think Brother Eddie's backslid because I'm going. Are they going to think something's wrong? Well, if so, they're going to think something's wrong with Pastor Eddie because he was the first one down there. So what? That's what the altar's for. That's what the altar's for, casting your care on him, for he cares for you. Amen. Listen, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then he brings it right down, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do you know the communion of the saints requires assembly? Communion. That word means to sup or to fellowship. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he that hears my voice and opens unto me, I will come in unto him and will sup with him." That word sup is fellowship. I will come in unto him and I will fellowship or have communion with him and he with me. Hallelujah. Woo, why did you come? I come to love on you. I come to see you. I come to shake your hand, to hug your neck, to smile, to hear your voice, to tell you I love you. I need you. You're my church family. But oh, don't forget the best part. I get to have me some fellowship around this altar with Jesus Christ. I need his touch. I need to hear his voice. I need to feel his comforting power. The communion of the saints requires assembly. You can't get that at home. Look, we record every service. We stream it. There's some people states away. There's no way they could be with us, and I thank God. Even if it's Brother Pate watching, you know, the church that his son and daughter-in-law attend, they watch our service. They're, you know, four and a half hours away. They can't just jump in a car and make that drive, so we provide that. But, hey, you're 10 minutes away. Come on now. Get in the car and come on down here. Hey, you, I'm staying in that camper and it's got one of those fireplace heaters. You know what I'm talking about. It's an electric heater. But it's shaped like a fireplace. You turn it on, it's got fake flames. Well, it looks like a fire, but it ain't no fire. Unless you turn the heat on and make it blow out heat, it looks like flames are in there, but there ain't no fire. You ain't going to feel the heat of a fire. You're not going to hear the crackling of a flame. You're not going to smell the scent of smoke. And sometimes we can watch a live stream, but you can't feel the heat of what's happening in that altar. Hallelujah. I said, you can't feel the heat of what's taking place in that altar, that wind blowing through there, making that flame and the fuel of that fire crackle, the sin of the aroma of the anointing of the Holy Ghost is not quite as real as sitting there near it, in it. There's some things you can only get by being there. I've always said somebody, you see a working man, he's got a nail. It's black. And there's a story behind that black nail. You say, what'd you do, man? I mashed my finger. I got it caught in the press. I was hammering. I hit the end of that thumb with a hammer. I said, man, it looks like it hurt. And you see, you just had to be there. Because it did. Somebody said, man, it looked like y'all had some good church. We did. Yes. I'm telling you, you'd have just had to been there. Right. Woo! Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You'd have just had to been there when wave after wave after wave rolled through that altar and hearts and lives were touched and changed forever. Listen, I read about the, I was praying about, God said what's true in the natural is true in the spiritual. Everything will try to flock or herd after its own kind. Community, fellowship. A oneness through togetherness. There's strength in numbers. There's safety in numbers. There's peace and comfort and security in numbers. It makes me feel better when I get in a crowd of several or maybe several hundred of spirit-filled saints of God. And I hear all of them calling on the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, sir, we've gone overseas before, especially in Africa. You get 500 to 1,000 pastors together, cram them in a building, and tell them all, let's stand, let's pray, let's seek the Lord. Have every one of them begin to pray and call upon the name of the Lord. You want to know a little bit about what heaven's going to feel like? 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands all calling on the name of the Lord. You want to talk about a feeling like no other. An assembly like no other. We sing about it. Heaven's Jubilee. Singing in the Holy Ghost how the heavens are going to ring. I remember the year of COVID. I ain't never planted nothing in my life. Nothing. Not even a rose bush. And they had us where we couldn't go nowhere. No restaurants open, wasn't nothing but Walmart and Lowe's open. Am I telling y'all the truth? Walmart and Lowe's. And if you went to the hospital, they were so full, they'd turn you away. Couldn't go to church, couldn't go nowhere. I was about to lose my mind. I wanted community and I wanted fellowship.
Yes.
You couldn't, you they just wouldn't let you. I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was Satan trying to put a clamp on the gathering of the saints,
right,
and trying to isolate us, separate us, right, and destroy us. I still think it was the work,
amen,
of the devil. But having said that, I said I'm gonna go buy me some seed. Brother Glenn came over. Rototiller just plowed me a good size little strip up back there behind the church. I'm going to plant me a garden. I'm going to do something. I planted, I don't know, from here to Brother Steve this way, and that strip was probably twice the width of this sanctuary, but me to Brother Steve this way, I planted 3 rows of corn. Sweet corn. So I ain't never planted nothing. I didn't know if it was going to come up, grow. Didn't know what was going to happen. I just had some buddies tell me, if you want corn to grow, this is what you do. You fertilize the ground, it comes up and it gets just so tall, then you put this in the ground, man, it's going to come on up then. You're going to be set. So I did all that. But I said, I might just plant one row. So you can't just plant one row. It ain't going to grow. It ain't going to put off no fruit if you don't plant but one row. I said, well, why? And it's just got to cross-pollinate. Can't just plant one row, Brother Ed. Can't just plant one stalk of corn. And he said, you got to have multiple rows. He said, I wouldn't plant no less than 3 rows. If you want it to put off fruit, if you want it to grow and be productive, plant 3 rows. He said, it's got to be cross-pollinated in order to make it fruitful. When I was studying for this message, the Lord said, you remember when you planted that corn? Not just one row, 3 rows. And by it, your Bible said 2's better than 1, and a 3-fold cord's not easily broken. God has put all throughout his word like a scarlet thread, community, fellowship. Not good for man that he should be alone. Do you know that God in his triune being has fellowship in himself? Jesus being the Son of God, the Father, and the Holy Ghost being the Spirit of God. Triune, let us make man in our image. Jesus said, I'm not alone. He that sent me is with me, for I do always those things that are pleasing unto him. Do you know the greatest agony of Calvary was to feel the separation that sin brought between God and man? And when Christ bore my sin, he felt the anguish of me being alone, to be in disunity with God, to be disfellowship from the presence of God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? To be alone is a horrible thing. We're exhorted. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Don't cut yourself off from the body. Don't isolate. You might can make it. What about that teenage son? What's going to happen to him? You might be strong enough to read and have discernment to pray and to be disciplined enough to stay full of the Holy Ghost. What about that teenage daughter that the world's pulling on her? She needs church. That boy needs church. That family needs church. They need community. They need fellowship. We need one another. We make each other better. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible said. We make one another better in the Lord. We encourage each other. We provoke one another unto love and unto good works. I read this. I'm getting ready to close. I really haven't even scratched the surface. I've just been preaching too slow. The California Redwood. I ain't never been to California, ever. Brother Butch, we need to change that, don't we? We need to find something to do in California. Go visit somebody. Go on a fishing trip. Go on a mountain hike or something. I need to find a good reason to go to California. But Brother Butch probably knows from experience. I only know from book knowledge. They say the California redwood trees are the tallest and oldest trees in the world. They stand hundreds of feet high. Some of them are said to be over 2,500 years old. That's pretty old. Now, as a result, you would think that redwoods have tremendous root systems that reach deep down into the earth. But compared to other trees, scientists say redwoods do not have many roots, and the roots, amazingly, do not go very deep. Yet the redwoods have stood for centuries because, and I thought this was awesome, because their roots are intertwined and interwoven with each other. They don't go real deep, Brother Bob, but he reaches over and grabs the other redwood and reaches over and grabs the other redwood and reaches over and grabs the other one and reaches back and grabs the other one. And they're strong because to knock one down, you'd have to knock them all down. Hallelujah to God. Woo. I want to tell you something. It's a blessing to go to a good church. Oh, I feel God. I said it's a blessing to go to a good church with other spirit-filled saints of God, with people that know how to pray, with people that know how to worship, with men or women that know how to preach or teach or live or walk for God. They've got experience. They're seasoned. They've made it through storm after storm, battle after battle, and they're still here. They're old, that gray head. If you could drain all the wisdom out of them of what they've seen, what they've felt, and what they've heard, and that testimony would tell you, Jesus has been faithful through it all. Jesus has stood by me through every test and through every trial. I've got the victory. Those are people you get around them when things get to going wrong, and they come up alongside of you and say, "Brother Eddie, let me tell you something." And they share with me a testimony of when they was my age and what they went through and what God did for them. And they look at you with a tear running down their face, and they say, "I want to tell you something. I know it's hard right now. I know you're broken up right now. I know it seems like you can't make it through this right now. And I want to tell you, you are going to make it. God is going to be faithful. God is going to help you. God is going to strengthen you. And you're going to come through this stronger than you've ever been before." It makes me straighten up. It fills my heart with faith. It encourages me. Puts a little pep in my step. Puts a little joy down in my soul. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Tell somebody how good God's been to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let us consider one another and provoke one another to love and to good works. The internal disposition of Christian fellowship. Verse 24, it commands us to consider one another. The word consider means to perceive clearly, to understand fully, or to consider closely. It's the same word used in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. Therefore, brethren, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. You have to set your mind on the person and the work of the Lord Jesus if your faith is going to be strong, stable, secure. But our text teaches us that Christians should also set their minds not only on Christ, but on one another. This verb continue is in a grammatical emphasis that denotes continual or repeated action. Amen. Literally, the reading could be like this: let us constantly consider one another. Just as we're to always be thinking about Jesus, we're to always be thinking about each other. The important point to get from this term is that Christian fellowship is primarily, essentially, ultimately, an internal reality. Fundamentally, fellowship is not about geographic, social, organizational, institutional, or programmatic. It's an internal disposition of every child of God. One of care, concern, and compassion for one another that result in words, decisions, and actions that express the love of Jesus Christ. 1 John 3 and 14, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know we pass from death to life when you care about the well-being, the spiritual well-being of your brother or sister in Christ. If they bleed, you bleed. If they're broken, you're broken. If they're hurt, you're hurt. If they're rejoicing, you're rejoicing with them. I'm not jealous. I'm on the same team. I see somebody across town, somebody said, "Man, we had 12 people get saved just last Sunday alone." I've watched pastors so jealous. They look for a reason. Oh, they ain't got nobody saved. They just compromise. They don't preach nothing. Everybody that comes in to raise their hand, they claim they're saved, but they ain't saved. They don't live nothing. Is it so hard just to rejoice? Is it so hard just to say, "Praise the Lord"? 12 people got saved. You know what? I'm happy if they did, because we're on the same team. 12 people got saved from hell. 12 people got their name wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life, hearing the same gospel, believing on the same Lord. Is it so hard just to be thankful with other believers when something good happens. The Bible said, you reap what you sow. If you rejoice when somebody else has something good happen for them, God let good things happen to you, Brother Eddie. Hallelujah. Thank God. If I'll help my brother when he's in a time of need, God will raise somebody up to help me when it's my turn to be in need, because you're going to have a turn. Kirsten, if you'll help me, I need to land this plane. The Bible said, whosoever does not love abides in death. True Christian love not only leads you to attend and participate in corporate worship, it'll also lead you to prayerfully consider the needs, the growth, and the concern of your brother and your sister in Christ, even when you're not physically together. If you're there and somebody's not there, think I'll call them when I get home. Not to scold them. Not like the hall monitor to say, hey, you missed today. Do you have an unexcused absence? No, I love you. I want you to know when you ain't there, I miss you. We love you. We're glad you're a part of us, and we want you to come back. We need you in this body. Yes. Hallelujah. Brother Joe said last night, he preached on revival, where the Lord said that he would heal our backsliding. And, or maybe that was last night, what? It was last night, getting them all mixed up. Said he would heal our backsliding. He said, I wonder how many churches truly have the love of Christ, that if a backslider were to come home or want to come home, that they'd really receive them with open arms. If they would find a church body that truly loves them, or if when they walked in, everybody'd say, he said, there's a lot of backsliders that would come home if they knew that somebody had a fatty calf in the stall and would celebrate the fact that they wanted to get saved instead of talk about them and discourage them and put them down. Oh God. I told the Lord, if there's somebody out there that's looking for a church to come to and they really want to get saved and they really want to feel community and they really want to feel family and they really want to feel loved and they really want to be fellowship, and oh God, lead them to Bible Way, and I'll love them, Lord. Lead them to Bible Way. I'll love on them, Jesus. I'll let them know that they're welcome in this house. This is your Father's house. You're welcome to come. His arms are open wide tonight. Look, there's no place I'd rather be. I tell Forks Lake when I get to go back, that's where I got saved. And every time I go back, Brother Tim says, man, it's good to have Brother Eddie home with us. That's where I was saved. That's where I was born spiritually. When I go back, it's like going back home. There's no rivalry. There's no competition. I told Brother Tim, if somebody would have asked me to pastor the church 10 minutes down the road, my answer would have been no. Why? Because every time somebody got mad at him, they'd want to come to my church. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. I know other preachers that have came out of that church that did. And he had to deal with that. And I said, you're my pastor. I want you to be my pastor as long as you're alive. And I want us to be one. And I want us to love each other and encourage each other and fellowship with each other. I need you. And I've been over there the last two nights, and he called me again today. He said, Brother Eddie, a lot of times they'll get me to lead singing or whatever. He said, Brother, thank you for coming. Our church loves you. Thank you for coming and being in our revival and fellowshipping with us. It means so much to me. I said, Brother Tim, you do it for me all the time. We're one. You know, if I didn't have my pastor, I'd feel terrible. Something goes wrong in my life. I'm thankful I've got all of you. I'm also thankful I got my pastor, one who helped me pray through to salvation. And I can call him and cry and say, I need you. I need you to help me. And I know he will. Thank God. We need each other. We need to provoke one another to love and to good works. There's power in it. That's why the Lord said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Somebody said, well, I ain't got to go to church to get saved. I know. He said, well, I ain't got to go to church to stay saved. I ain't so sure about that. But if that's true, and there's a lot that lacks, there's a lot that needs to be said or added to that statement in order for it to be completely true. You need to just add to it, but if I don't go to church, I ain't edifying nobody but me. I ain't encouraging nobody else who needs the church to go to church. There's a ton of missions out there all over the world, and like it or not, churches and organizations bind together across the board, nationally and globally, to help each other reach the world for Christ. I want to be a part of that. Wherever God is working, wherever God is moving, and whatever channels he's using to do that, and I want to yoke with other bodies of believers all over this land and say, count me in. I want to be a part of what God is doing to reach those nations for God. You can't do that without communion and without fellowship. We're not as strong when we're by ourselves. If you don't believe that, go to pick something up and it's too heavy for you. Is that right, Brother Jonathan? But if we got somebody else, hallelujah. And if we got a third one, oh, hallelujah. And if we got a fourth one, it won't even hardly feel like we carry anything. And that's the way it is spiritually. Thank you. Man, when you're by yourself in the pit of the valley, when you're sitting at home staring at them walls all by yourself, ain't nobody but you and the devil's talking in your ear, it feels like the weight of the whole world's pressing down on you. When you get in a building with 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 other believers, and everybody is calling on the name of the Lord together, and everybody's got their hands raised, and worshiping and praising God, and the singing's anointed, and the preaching's anointed, somehow something supernatural happens. It's a weapon of community and fellowship. If one can chase 1,000, two put 10,000 to flight. Something happens when we come together. Our load gets lighter. Hallelujah. Our load gets lighter. Jesus commanded those disciples, the apostles, you tarry together in Jerusalem. Don't leave, don't separate, don't isolate. You stay here and tarry together and wait until you're endued with power from on high. 120 of them stayed and prayed together. And they all come out, Brother Bob, full of the Holy Ghost. Every one of them. Don't tell me there ain't power in it, Brother Eddie. Do you know the ones that got filled? The ones that was there. You know the ones that heard about it? The ones that wasn't. Hallelujah. I feel Jesus in this place. In these last days, there's going to be people hear about revival, and I hope they do. And I hope they come. But you know what the greatest blessing is going to be? Is the ones that was there to pray for revival. Hallelujah. God laid upon my heart years ago, and he said, will the church have revival because of you or in spite of you? And I said, because of me, Lord. Because I want to be found faithful. I want to pray. I want to live. I want to seek. I want to work. I want to do. I want the church to have revival because of me, not in spite of me. And that's community and that's fellowship. Can't do it on our own. We're going to do it together. Thank you, Lord. If you're able, stand with me all over this house. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your spirit we're made to feel. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that destroys every yoke. You've given us power, O God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. One of the most powerful weapons you've given unto the church is the call to assemble. It's communion. It's fellowship. It's not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, exhorting, provoking each other unto love and unto good works. I thank you, Lord, for these people. There are a few other Sullivans here, but Lord, this is my family. All of these men and women, these young people, these are my family that you've yoked me and joined me with to serve God and to walk with God and to fight the good fight of faith. And I thank you for them tonight. God, help us around this heart. Bind us together. Put us in the same yoke, oh God. Help us to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. If that's your prayer, would you meet me in this altar and let's pray it together. Come on, I want us to pray one for another tonight.